We're currently standing in the visitor parking lot. And on the west side of the building where the visitor parking lot is, there's two entrances. One is for the public, and the second entrance is for the volunteers. So
City Fire Hall Project Coordinator Tom Reinhartz says the separate entrances allow visitors to access the public areas of the building without hampering the volunteers' ability to get to their emergency gear and vehicles. There's a display case by the entrance that will house the many awards department volunteers have won over the years. The hall leads down to the restrooms, a copy room, and a couple offices for the department's two paid staffers.
If the public has business with any of the fire personnel, the director is in this corner office, and then the fire marshal is down to the second door to the end.
Near the vehicle bays, there's a space called the radio room. Reinhardt says it will house the department's VHF communications equipment, but it will also serve as a backup dispatch center for the community.
So that if something happens down at the police station, down at the dispatch, they'll still be able to operate out of this facility.
So this will essentially, 911 could be routed to this facility here.
Right. Part of the project is to extend a fiber optic cable from the police station to this facility. So we'll have total communications between the police station and this facility. And like I say, if the primary 911 system goes down, the secondary one up here can be used.
Closer to the main entrance, the public area also includes a large training or conference room that's just under 1,000 square feet. According to Reinhartz, the conference room space will be available for the public to use for local presentations, meetings, or other events, whether or not they involve the department.
Our hope is that it will be a very popular place. It's, like I say, a state-of-the-art training room. It's got a separate sound system. It'll have a projector in the ceiling. It has screens. It has TV monitors.
It's been a little over a year since construction started on the new building. Bad weather hampered the outdoor work, but the building is now nearly done. Zach Williams is superintendent for McGraw Custom Construction, the general contractor out of Sitka.
You know, ultimately, I think my biggest challenge was heating the ground to pour the structural foundation. That was a critical path to be able to frame the structure through the winter. And so ultimately we got that, but with frozen ground, kind of a harsh winter last winter, a combination of frozen ground for the foundation and then under slab plumbing was probably the biggest challenge.
A nearby hall leads back to the volunteer areas, which are separated from the public areas by key code locked doors. Along the walls, there are banks of lockers where firefighters, EMTs, and search and rescue volunteers can store personal gear, as well as bathrooms with showers, and a large meeting space for volunteers called the day room.
So this is kind of equivalent to what we have upstairs in the mezzanine in the current fire hall. It includes a kitchen. And there will be a dining area here. And then there will be chairs and lounges and things like that and a TV in here so that they can the volunteers can come here and relax if they choose. But also in the back, there will be four computer workstations that are connected to the Internet because a lot of our training nowadays relates to Internet courses in that.
Fire department volunteers have to do a lot of training, and the new building includes two small bedrooms for visiting instructors to use while staying in town.
We'll be able to save the money that they currently pay for hotels and food and that sort of thing. But in addition to that, it allows emergency services people, say if they're out the road and they're on call for EMS or something like that, there will be procedures so they could sign up and when they're on call overnight, they could stay here.
This first bay will be where the ambulances are.
Assistant Chief and Department Spokesperson Dave Berg walks through the largest section of the building, the apparatus bay, which will house the department's trucks, ambulances, and other vehicles.
Right on the sides of us here is a large area that will have EMS storage supplies. Behind us in the back of the bay is where our area will be for decontamination.
Large yellow hoses hang from the ceiling above each vehicle bay. They'll carry the exhaust outside.
So each one of those hoses will hook onto the exhaust pipe of a vehicle. And if the vehicle starts, the pressure from the exhaust will start the system, and it'll draw the exhaust out. And you see there's two fans on the end of the building so that it will exhaust the fumes outside of the building. So basically you can start the vehicles and run them all day in the facility without ever having to open the door.
And that will allow for more indoor training and vehicle maintenance. Each bay is also equipped with an air hose for pressurizing brakes or filling tires. A mezzanine training area for search and rescue and other volunteers overlooks the bay. Underneath the mezzanine, Berg points out several small rooms.
We'll have gear storage in them. We have a workshop. We'll have a separate room that's available for our SCBA pump and tank maintenance facility. We'll have hose storage. Search and rescue will have their own spot. And then on the far end, we have a generator so that the building is completely separate off of the city power if we have an incident where there's no power up here.
The building will be equipped with a new compressor for filling the many air tanks firefighters need when they work in and around a burning structure. The unit was a late addition to the project, and it's not expected to arrive until mid-December. Officials don't expect to move in until after it's in place. Berg and Reinarts, who is also a department volunteer, say they're waiting on the move until everything's ready to go.
We cannot move up here until we're totally operational up here. We can't have part of it down there and part of it up here because that's just going to cause a lot of confusion. So
we might start a little bit of moving for some of our extra gear, for instance. We definitely have to have everything in one place to be able to respond effectively. So maybe between Christmas and New Year's, we might be able to be up in here.
At 18,500 square feet, the building is well over double the size of the existing fire hall downtown, but Reinhardt says it's extremely energy efficient.
Where we're standing out here, the heat for this apparatus bays is under the floor. It's been operational now, and it keeps the facility quite comfortable, quite even temperature. It's worked out very well. And then there's radiant heat throughout the rest of the offices and shops, which again is a very efficient source of heat.
Reinhardt says in its first month of operating the heat, the building's electricity cost about $800, which is close to estimates for the project. As far as the need for the big space, Berg points out that Petersburg has a lot of equipment to protect, and because of its location, it can't rely on other towns to respond in an emergency.
We have very little mutual aid that can be provided to us from other communities. We have the folks, the guys up at the state DOT. You know, they have an engine that can help us out, but it isn't like we were living in, you know, North Seattle, where the people from the Everett Fire Department could come down and help us out with a big fire. So we have a lot of equipment compared to other places.
McGraw Construction originally bid just under $4.2 million to build the fire hall. Some additions since then, like concrete parking areas, have put the construction cost closer to $5 million, all of which will be covered by state funding. The legislature approved a $6.7 million grant for the project in 2010. City councilors have discussed whether it would be possible to put any remaining funds towards the repair or replacement of the town's half-century-old police station. However, no decisions have been made on that front. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.